Esther chapter 3, if you would turn there in your Bibles, and you can read along with me, read out of the New International Version. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
All righty, here we go. Bible says, "And then Haman said to King Xerxes," Haman talking to the king, "there is a certain people dispersed and scattered among the peoples in all the provinces of your kingdom whose customs are different from those of all other people and who do not obey the king's laws. It is not in the king's best interest to tolerate them. If it pleases the king, let a decree be issued to destroy them." Rather extreme. Can I get a witness? "And I will put 10,000 talents." Now, if you do, my Bible has a little star by that. You look down there at the bottom, that is about 375 tons of silver. Now, even back in the day, that was a pile of cash. Amen? He says, make this decree. Let me find out where I was at. He says, "If it pleases the king, let a decree be issued to destroy them, and I'll put 10,000 talents of silver into the royal treasury for the men who carry out this business." So the king took his signet ring from his finger and gave it to Haman, son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, the enemy of the Jews. "Keep the money," the king said to Haman, "and do with the people as you please." Then on the 13th day of the first month, the royal secretaries were summoned. They wrote out a script for each province in the language of each people, all Haman's orders to the king's satraps, the governors of the various provinces, the nobles of the various peoples. These were written in the name of King Xerxes. Now notice that Haman wrote it, but put the king's name on it. We'll come back to that in a minute. He says, "and sealed with his own ring. And the dispatches were sent by couriers to all the king's provinces with the order to destroy, kill, and annihilate all the Jews, young and old, women and little children, on a single day, the 13th day of the 12th month, the month of Adar, and to plunder their goods." A copy of the text of the edict was issued as law to every province and made known to the people of every nationality, so they would be ready for that day. Spurred on by the king's command, the couriers went out, and the edict was issued in the citadel of Susa. The king and Haman sat down to drink, but the city of Susa was bewildered. Lord, we come before you this morning. Challenging words, challenging times. Lord, we are surrounded by challenges. Lord, as we struggle to understand the situation 2,500 years ago, Lord, we struggle to understand oftentimes a situation that revolves around us. Lord, I ask that you would glorify yourself among us, Lord. The heinous, heinous actions of man so many years ago, and the heinous, heinous actions of men today. Lord, that you would be glorified, that your spirit would reign, that we might find fullness when surrounded by darkness. In Jesus' name, and everyone said,
amen.
I'm going to tell you a troubling story. A story that some of you might have heard happened last month. Beginning of September. Story of a new bride, Rawan, living in Yemen, bordering on Saudi Arabia. Tragic, tragic story of this young bride who died on her wedding night. Tragic. Died from internal hemorrhaging. See, Rawan was married at 8 years old. You know, you sell his daughter. is going to turn 8 next month. Just to get a picture of that. How old is Tina? Tina is 8. Her husband was a man of 40 years old. But it's okay, because it was legal. In the laws of Yemen, perfectly legal, because there was a dowry that was paid. And her parents agreed to it. Heinous, heinous situations. Did some research on that. 15% of all brides in Yemen are under the age of 15. It is thought to have a young bride will enable the husband to get a very submissive wife and many children. Fits in with our story today because Esther would have been a child bride. Esther, along with a lot of other young virgins, as the text spells out. Pastor Dave taught us chapters 1 and 2 last week from the book of Esther that virgins from all over Persia running from modern-day India, the edge of India and Pakistan, all the way to Egypt. Most of modern-day, all of modern-day Turkey, all the bunch of Turkmenistans, all them up there, Afghanistan. High and low, 127 provinces. All the beautiful young virgins were brought to find a new queen. And there was a contest to see who could please the king. 2,500 years ago, it was a problem. It is a problem today. Today, we call it sex trafficking. The Polaris Project, organized to combat and battle sex trafficking. They have a definition for sex trafficking where commercial sex acts are induced by force, fraud, or coercion. Child prostitution, child pornography. Definition of sex trafficking includes the recruitment, harboring, transportation, provision, or obtaining persons for acts of commercial sex. It is the most common form of modern-day slavery. Heinous. Heinous. It goes on today, and it was going on 2,500 years ago. And Esther gets swooped up in all of this. She is part of the contest, and this contest runs as long as 4 years. When Queen Vashti is outed in the third year, and Esther is welcomed in as a new queen in the seventh year, and in that four-year period, if you do the math, there is right at about 1,500 evenings, 1,500 opportunities to please the king. Now, I don't know how the structure was set, but I'm thinking, I'm safe to say that we are talking a group of 1,000 young women, maybe more, maybe double that. And they would be brought in as virgins, and they would leave as concubines. Now, maybe you struggle with the definition of concubine. Concubine performs all the duties of a wife, but without the title. Now, I know what you're thinking. We're not talking about cooking, and we're not talking about cleaning. Because when you're cooking and cleaning, you can call that a maid. Can I get a witness on that? So we are talking about something, you know, and we don't use that word today too much. But we got other words for those women that perform the functions of a wife that aren't really a wife. And none of those words carry with them the meaning of honor, integrity, or worth. You know what I'm saying? Pastor Dave talked about these virgins. And virgins, there's a connotation of the virgin means pure. And concubine doesn't. So they come in as virgins and they leave as concubines. They come in as pure and they leave less than pure. Happened 2,500 years ago and it happens today. Give you some history a little bit on Esther. The story of Esther happens 480 BC, a couple years on either side, round numbers. 500 years before Christ. Now, 586 BC, this is per se 100 years before the time of Esther, the Babylonians invade and destroy Jerusalem and take the people. Actually, they had started 20 years earlier, taking the best of the best of the Jews and taking them to Babylon to take away all the talent out of Jerusalem so they'd be weaker and weaker and weaker. But they would not crumble. They would not fail. And so finally, 586 BC, Nebuchadnezzar invades Jerusalem and destroys the temple. 20, 30 years after that, Cyrus the Persian invades Babylon and takes over Babylon. And Cyrus issues a decree to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem. And there is this you read about it in Ezra and Nehemiah. This is the same time frame. Actually, Esther takes place after the temple is rebuilt, but before the walls are rebuilt by Nehemiah. And there's a considerable span of time there. In fact, everybody in this story was probably born under the rule of Persia. So we talk about Jews who had never seen the temple. Jews that were spread out all over Persia, they were taken initially to Babylon, kind of put together in groups, you know, they call them ghettos. That's where the word ghetto came from, as they were gathered by groups. But as Nebuchadnezzar was defeated, they were able to move out and they began to have places of prosperity in the whole kingdom. And so we come to our story today and we read about an incredible challenge, the genocide of the Jews. Series called Grabbing On to Greatness. And it is dire situations that allow people to grab on to greatness. Amen. As you are facing incredible challenges in your life, you are able to make a choice. Am I just going to roll with it? Is this what I want? Or am I done? Because when you're done, that is when you can start. Amen. This room is filled with people who came to the point that they were done. I did. And that is when I got a new start in life. Title today's message is called Surrounded by Challenge. And we're going to go back to the end of chapter 2 and look at the challenge that was facing the Jews. Amen? Amen. All right, here we go. Esther 2:19 reads, when the virgins were assembled a second time, Mordecai was sitting at the king's gate. Let's not stop now. That might have been what was going on in the king's mind, King Xerxes. Let's not stop now. See, you could skip over this. In fact, Pastor Dave brought this to my attention when he was teaching on this last week. When the virgins were assembled a second time. Now, we already got a winner. Esther is the queen. There's no more prize. But perhaps the king's not ready for the contest to be stopped. I wonder what Esther won. She's in the palace. That's where everybody wants to be. But you have to watch out what you wish for, because you might get it. Amen? As we read the beginning of the story, and Pastor Dave spoke of this last week about the drunken feast that the king held and how Vashti, when summoned to come and dance, the dancing queen, and Vashti in the palace was done. I'm not putting up with this anymore. I'm not going to dance for you and all your buddies. I just want out. I thought I wanted this, but this is not what I thought it was going to be. Maybe you have found yourself in a similar situation where you strove and strove and worked so hard, and you got into a situation. Maybe you're in that situation right now and you're just thinking, I am done. Maybe you know people that are in that situation, and if you do, the question to ask them is, are you done? Because when you're done, then you can start. Because I'll tell you what, you've been in that situation, you're just struggling and struggling and struggling to make it right. You're just trying to make it right. You're not done yet. And that struggle just got to go on and go on. When you're done, you can get a new start. Amen? All right. Sitting at the king's gate, talking about Mordecai. Mordecai is Esther's uncle. During the time that Mordecai was sitting at the king's gate, Bigthana and Teresh, two of the king's officers who guarded the doorway, became angry and conspired to assassinate King Xerxes. Now, I got to imagine they were pretty mad. You know, I got to think it's more than just some dust on the entryway. They're going to try to kill the king. Mordecai found out about the plot, told Queen Esther, who in return reported it to the king, giving credit to Mordecai. Now, the king's gate. Mordecai is seated at the king's gate. And the king's gate is more than just a door. It's more than some guards sitting out there, and they close, you know, they got a moat, or, you know, they got, you know, the gates that they put up at the end of the night. No, the city gates, commerce was conducted at the city gates. When you came in and you had goods, you had to pay tariffs or you had to pay taxes. And so there were tax collectors that were at the city gates, and court was often held at the city gate. And so you had financial stuff that was going on. You had taxes that were being collected. You had court that was being done. You had requests to see the king going on. The city gate was the place to be. Action was going on. Talks about it in the Bible, Proverbs 31:23, talking about this wonderful woman. But if you notice, too, it says her husband is respected at the city gate, where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. The elders were the rulers. And so the rulers would sit at the city gate and handle the business of the city. And so as Mordecai is seated at the king's gate, he is involved in the, and it is in Susa, which is the capital. He is involved in the commerce of Susa. Mordecai is a player. Born in Persia, raised in Persia, seated, you use that word, seated at the king's gate. And as he is there, and as he is involved, he catches wind by these two guys that they are going to assassinate Xerxes. And he tells the queen. And I'm asking myself the question, why would he tell? I was talking to some people, I think Pastor Dave and my wife, and he said, you know, if somebody was going to try to assassinate President Obama, you would probably report that. And I said, not if he kidnapped my little girl and took her away and did heinous things to her. In my heart, I might just want to see that plot succeed. So I'm thinking, what's going on with Mordecai? He's seated at the king's gate. He's a player. He's got action going on. And you know, the place is a place of politics. And that perhaps he sees a way to advance his own cause. And that he can utilize Esther's position to further his... See, Esther's in the palace. And he's on the edge. And he's thinking, how can I make a step or two? You know, we got all kinds of politics going on around us. We have a government shutdown. 800,000 people out of work. Last time I heard it. Is that right? I mean, I've been following a ton. Anybody heard a different number? 800,000 people out of work. And you know what? Harry Reid doesn't look like he's suffering much. And who's the Republican guy in the House? Boehner. Yeah, you know, it doesn't look like he's skipping any meals. Doesn't look like their pay is getting cut at all. And in fact, it doesn't look like they're really rushing to get this thing done. And realistically, if you listen to this stuff, the reason the government is shut down is because of Obamacare. The Republicans want to put it off for a year, and the Democrats are saying, no way. I mean, they've let all the businesses, all the unions off the hook, but they're not going to let me and you off the hook. So they're going to shut down the government, and they're going to fight over Obamacare, which none of them are going to use. And all they're doing in all this stuff is trying to get a little bit more cash in their pocket. Get a little bit more cash coming towards them. I don't think they care about me and you so much. They just care who's in charge. And that's what we're talking about in the time of Esther. Make sense? All right. Trying to bring this home. Are we okay? Are you tracking? All right. Here we go. Evil rules the day. Sometimes, man, they say power can corrupt. After these events, King Xerxes honored Haman, son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, elevating him and giving him a seat of honor higher. He's moving ahead, right? Higher than all of the other nobles. If he's got a seat that's higher than all the other nobles, that means he's in charge. Amen? He's in control. All the royal officials at the king's gate knelt down and paid honor to Haman, for the king had commanded this concerning him. But Mordecai would not kneel down or pay him honor. King picked Haman. You know, I'm wondering, what did Haman do? I mean, Esther had to please the king. So Haman was probably doing some stuff. Get noticed. I don't know what it was. He was an Agagite. They were an ethnic group that was recognized at the time. Don't know who they were now. There was a town of Agag. There was all kinds of ethnic groups that were spread out over Persia. Pastor Scott from Boston. Worcester, right? Is that how you say that? Dorchester. George. Where you at, George? George and Angelo from the Bronx. Brooklyn. Don't be calling us from the Bronx, man. Pastor Dave from Minnesota. We got all kinds of people from all kinds of places. They had it then. At all these ethnic groups. Some in favor, some not in favor. The Jews were not in favor. How do we know? One, Mordecai told Esther, don't tell anybody you're a Jew when you go in for the contest. Might keep you from winning. Why? Why were the Jews out of favor? Well, I did a little bit of research. And when Cyrus gave the decree to go back and to build the temple, there were some local people that were living there, didn't want the Jews to come back, wanted the real estate. Kind of like what we got going on now with the Palestinians and the Israelis. No, hey, it's our land. No, 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 no. So they tried to stop it, but they had the decree of Cyrus, who's the king of all Persia. Hey, don't mess with the king. Amen? And they tried to mess, the second king, Darius, tried to mess with him. No, don't, no, we're for the Jews. So what they did was, is they hired what we would call today lobbyists to go to Susa and down the Jews. Ezra 4:6, read about it. At the beginning of the reign of Xerxes, they lodged an accusation against the people of Judah and Jerusalem. Previous verse says how they hired representatives to carry this, and they would carry that to where? The city gate. And money would be flowing, just like it does in Washington, D.C. And you get past the city gate, you get where? Into the palace. And King Artaxerxes was the next king, and the efforts even got worse. And so Haman says, oh, we're not going to have this. Haman gets a promotion, given the highest spot, kind of like Daniel, kind of like Joseph, in charge. Not quite like, I mean, Joseph was way in charge. Maybe not that high. But Haman gets a promotion. Haman gets into the palace, and he's way beyond the city gate. Let's see what he does with it. When Haman saw that Mordecai would not kneel down or pay him honor, he was a little mad. He was, in fact, enraged. Yet having learned who Mordecai's people were, having learned he was a Jew, having been aware of the drama that's going on inside the palace with the payola that's coming and the disregard that the Jews are being painted with, he scorned the idea of killing only Mordecai. I'm going to get this guy and I'm going to get him good. Instead, Haman looked for a way to destroy all Mordecai's people, the Jews, throughout the whole kingdom of Xerxes. And Mordecai crosses paths with Haman. It's not looking good. Mordecai won't kneel. Mordecai won't bow. Says, I'm a Jew? Because the other guys, the other officials go, Mordecai, what's up, man? Just bow to the dude. He goes, no, I'm a Jew, and Jews don't bow. And you know what? I think Mordecai is getting a little tired of this stuff. I think Mordecai is getting close to being done. Amen? When you get done, that's when you can start. Mordecai is playing with fire here. I am reminded of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They played with a little bit of fire. Amen? And what they said to Nebuchadnezzar, hey, we are not going to bow to you or to the image that you made. And you can throw us in the fire and our God will save us. But even if he doesn't, we're still not bowing to you. Amen. There is something that happened in the Jewish people to have them grab on to God. Haman takes notice. Haman's going to take care of it. He's not satisfied with just getting Mordecai. He's going to get all the Jews. Talking about the destruction of a people. Hitler wanted to do that. Something behind this. Satan. And all this happens because Mordecai's done. Not going to play the game anymore. He's on the edge of the palace and he's saying, you know what? It's just not worth it. Vashti said, I'm here. I don't want it. He saw what it was. He saw that what was required. He saw what Haman had to do to get the favor of the king. He said, I'm not going to be like Haman. I'm not going to honor Haman. I am going to be done. And as he is done, he is able to get a new start. Amen? How about you? Are you done? Have you been done? Have you got a new start? Because you could roll in here this morning and you could be on the edge. You'd be going, man, I could just work this out. I could work this out. And maybe the Lord says, it ain't worth it. And right now you're thinking, you know what? It's really not worth it. I'm not going to play the game anymore. I'm not going to fight this fight anymore. I'm done. And if you're done this morning, you can get a new start. Amen? Amen. I got a side note for you. And it's kind of related, but bear with me for a second. The Jews are going to be attacked because they would not kneel, they will not kneel to Haman. That they would not kneel to foreign dignitaries, they would not kneel to foreign gods. Amen? You're tracking with me. They are dispersed throughout Persia, and they grab on tightly to the Lord, and they are grabbing on to his edicts of have no other gods before me. Are you tracking with me? This is the very thing that they would not do while they were located in Jerusalem. That going through in Egypt, they bowed down to foreign gods. In the wilderness, they bowed down to foreign gods. And when they got to the promised land, when they finally got to Israel, the one thing that they could never do is to get rid of the idols and keep them gone. That in the very courtyard of the temple, they used to have infant sacrifices to pagan gods, the pagan god Molech. And God over and over and over sent discipline to them, invaders to them, trying to teach them this lesson over 500 years until finally Nebuchadnezzar comes, destroys Jerusalem, destroys the temple, disperses them, takes them into Babylon, and they have nothing else to grab onto but God. Finally, they were done. Finally, they got a new start. And after the destruction of Jerusalem, after they were taken into captivity, there is never a documented time when the people of God, the Jews, the Hebrews, ever fell into idolatry again. See, when you're done, you can get a new start. Amen? I mean, it's so cool. The thing that got him in trouble in Jerusalem with God was bowing to foreign idols. The thing that's getting them in trouble with the foreigners is not bowing. He said, we ain't going to bow to nothing but our Lord. Amen? Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Wow. All right, we're doing okay. Are we doing okay? Yeah? All right, here we go. Esther 3, 8 through 11. Haman said to King Xerxes. Now catch this. Haman said to King Xerxes, there is a certain people. It's like, I'm trying to remember their name. I don't really haven't put any effort in this. There's a certain people dispersed and scattered among the peoples of all the provinces in your kingdom whose customs are different from those of all the other people and who do not obey the king's laws. Now, if you're the king, I'm paying attention right now. Amen? What? What? Lawbreakers? It is not the king in the king's best interest to tolerate them. If it pleases the king, and this is Haman. Haman's like Secretary of State. Haman's like Vice President. If it pleases the king, let a decree be issued to destroy them, and I'll pay. I'll put 10,000 talents of silver. Let's say 374 tons. You know what that comes out to? $250 million. In today's money. That's a pile of cash. Amen? I'll put 10,000 talents of silver into the royal treasury for the men who carry out this business. So the king took his signet ring from his finger and gave it to Haman, son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, the enemy of the Jews. Keep your money. Keep your money, the king said to Haman, and do with the people as you please. And Haman is making his move. Haman is seeing the opportunity. He is going before the king and he is doing everything he can. He's shaking and baking because Haman is working for the king. But it's not really in the best interest of the king. See, Haman's lying. It's really in the best interest of Haman. He says, let's get these guys and I'll pay the bill. And I'm sure the king is saying, man, this guy's really just on my side so much. He's such a good guy. Keep your money. And then he does this thing, which could be the target of the whole thing. He gives him his ring. And not just any ring, it's a signet ring. It's got the sign of the king on it. And whatever Xerxes, whatever Haman presses that ring on, it is the same as if the king had said it. So in this little shake-and-bake move that Haman is making, he now moves to the position of Daniel, where he can function as the king. And it's working. Haman's making his move. The order is made. Then royal secretaries wrote, there's probably a whole crew of royal secretaries. Royal secretaries wrote out Haman's orders to the king's satraps, which are like bigger than governors. You know, like, you know, kind of a, anyway, they were just bigwigs. The governors of the various provinces, the nobles of the various peoples, these were written in the name of the king Xerxes himself, sealed with his own ring that was on Haman's hand. Dispatches were sent by couriers to all the king's provinces with the order to destroy, kill, and annihilate. I mean, how do you get away from that? I mean, we're not messing around. You know, we're going to kill you, then we're going to hang you, then we're going to burn you. You know, I mean, hey, you're going to be dead. To destroy, kill, and annihilate all the Jews, young and old, women and little children on a single day. And to plunder their goods, spurred on by the king's command, the couriers went out, and the edict was issued in the citadel of Susa. The king and Haman sat down to drink. But the city was bewildered. Man, what is going on around us? Haman makes the order and he puts the king's name on it. Everyone killed in a single day. That's a lot of killing. Sealed with the king's name. And they sit down to celebrate. They have a drink. And maybe you're sitting and drinking with the devil. A celebration of evil. See no way out here. Devil's going to win. Devil's working on eliminating the line that our Savior would come from. Let me tell you, though. God's already on the move. God's already got a plan. Esther's queen. Haman doesn't even know what is coming his way. But it's looking pretty bleak. How's it looking for you today? Come on up, Lisa. Maybe it's looking pretty bleak to you. Maybe you see no way out. Maybe you know somebody. I think a lot of people see no way out aren't here today. But you're here. The Lord is speaking to your heart, saying, you know what? I'm in the palace and I just don't want it. I got what I've been shooting for and it's not what I thought it was going to be. I want out of here. Maybe you're on the edge and you've been fighting to get in and now you see all that's entailed in getting there and you're thinking, it's not worth it. I'm done. Well, if you don't want what you got and you're done, or if you see what you got to do to get to where you thought you wanted to be and it's just not worth it, you're done. Mordecai was done. Jews are done. But when you're done, that's when you can get a new start. And God had already laid it out. We're going to talk about that next week. Devil's always got a plan. There was another plan that was hatched up. It was hatched up by the enemy. And the high priest, Caiaphas. Maybe you haven't heard of him, but you've probably heard of Pontius Pilate. And the three of them had a plan that in one day we would eliminate all of the opposition. On one day there would be a death. And all of our problems would be handled. And it looked bleak on that day. Amen? It looked dark on that day. It looked like there was no way out. But God had a plan. Our Lord Jesus Christ was taken by evil men, that he was beaten and tortured, and they crucified him, and they put him on a cross, and they got the people all lined up, and they shouted, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" And on that day, he died. Good Friday. Why call it good? Bible says that anyone who is hung on a tree is cursed. And Jesus was cursed for you and me. He had no sins. He died for our sins. God had a plan on that day, and the devil and Pontius Pilate and Caiaphas thought that Jesus would die so that their reign could be extended, but no. Because it was on the third day that everything changed. It was on the third day that there was an earthquake. It was on the third day that the stone was rolled away, and the girls and the ladies that were going to prepare the body for burial couldn't find him. They said, "Why do you look for the dead among the living? Didn't he tell you? Didn't he tell you that you have to die and on the third day be raised? And that the miracle would happen, that he would be raised from the dead, raised and given a name," what? "That is above every name." Amen? See, when you're done, you can get a new start. And maybe you come in here this morning and you're saying, "Oh, if I only had a new start." And the Apostle Paul says that with the same power that God raised Jesus from the dead, that power is available to raise you to a new start this morning. So if you're done this morning, if you go, "Man, I didn't realize I was done. I walked into this church and I'm done." And you're saying, "Lord, what I want most this morning is a new start. Lord, what I thought I wanted, I don't want anymore. And what I've been shooting for is not worth what I got to do to get it. Lord, I'm going to surrender all." Bible says that he was the firstborn that we might follow him to a new life. Amen? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we come to you this morning. Lord, knowing that you are mighty and awesome. Lord, knowing that we can put our sights on the wrong things, Lord, that we can pursue the wrong things, Lord. And Lord, we come to the end of ourselves. Mordecai came to the end of himself. Vashti came to the end of herself. Next, we're going to see Esther come to the end of herself. We come to the end of ourselves, Lord, when we are done, Lord, we get a new start. And maybe you are here this morning, you come to the end of yourself, and saying, Oh, Lord, I want to live like this anymore. Lord, I want a new start. Lord, I'll lay down my life, Lord, that I might be made new. Have that new life, Lord. Follow you, Lord. Nobody looking around. The Lord is just speaking so clearly to you this morning. You've been fighting the wrong fight. Come with me. It's not easy. It's a battle every day. The Jews went from battling with God to battling the enemy and friends with God. And this morning you're done. You want to be a friend with God. Find a whole new way to live, a whole new value system. Nobody looking around. But God is just speaking to your heart. And you're saying, "Lord, I understand why I'm here this morning." Lord is just speaking to your heart. You think I'm going to call your name. It is so clear that I am speaking right to you, that the Lord is speaking right to you this morning. And right now you can say, "Lord, I hear you." Just raise your hand up and say, "Lord, I hear you. I want that new start here and here and here and there and there and there and there and all over the place in here. Lord, I don't want to fight the wrong fight. I don't want to be in the wrong place, Lord. I want to know you as my Lord and Savior. Lord, I want to surrender, Lord, all the values that I had before, Lord. Toss them aside. And I want to follow you. Lord, I'm freaking out. I don't know where I'm going to go." We'll help you. We will help you. We'll help you walk. We'll help you run. But right now, you want that start. I want you to be bold enough to stand. Put your hand up. You say, Lord, here I am. I am your son. I am your child. I am your daughter. Lord, here I am. Lord, I am bold enough for you, Lord. I want that start enough that I am going to stand to my feet and I'm going to say, Lord, here I am, Lord. Lord, I want to be made new. You're here. You want this? I want you to just, Lord is speaking to you, not me, not because, but you are done and you want a new start. I want you to just stand at your feet right here. If you already got a new start, you don't have to stand. That's okay. You want that new start today. Lord Jesus Christ, as there are people that are standing all over this place, Lord, I pray, Lord, a new hope, a new future, Lord, as you redeem Mordecai, Lord, as you stopped him from doing the deals that happened at the city gate, Lord, that he would not kneel anymore to the powers of the day, Lord, we would learn to stand to you, Lord, that we would reach a hand up to heaven and say, Lord, I am so tired. It's just not worth it, Lord. It's just not what I want. I found out what I've been fighting for. It's not what I need, Lord. I need you in my life. And I pray this morning, Lord, that each person, Lord, is bold enough to stand, Lord, just come by your Holy Spirit. Transform their lives, transform their situations, Lord, that you would be glorified among us. Five among us. Five among us. Five among us. Five among us. Five